1 Samuel chapter 1, your Bibles, if you please. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Again, it's an honor to be here this evening. It's a privilege to preach God's Word and share with you this evening. This is something that's been near and dear to my heart. I've kind of been doing a little personal study on the women of Scripture because us men could always learn a little more about women, right? We need a clue. Amen. That's exactly right. The last time I spoke, you know, we were outside. This is much better, by the way. This is a million times better. Though I did enjoy Mr. Rodden's truck. It was a lot of fun, so I do appreciate that. But it's nice to be here. But last time we spoke on the flatbed, I talked about Martha, who was a good and godly woman who needed direction and encouragement from the Lord. But tonight I want to draw your attention to another who, you know, honestly gets overlooked. But make no mistake, her faith and what she chooses to do in her circumstances makes her one of the most amazing, and to be honest with you, one of the most humbling people in all of Scripture. I'm going to read verse 1 of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephratite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And yes, I looked up how to say all of those words many, many times. So yes, that is correct. Ramathaim Zophim. If you take nothing else, you know how to say that now. You're welcome. But during one of the darkest times of God's people, everything was about to change. And you know, God would not bring about this change in a king, because as you can see, there's no kings yet. It wouldn't be done through a Levitical priest, because as you're going to see in a moment, they have failed and they are fallen. But you bring about that change from a barren, humble, broken, but yet godly woman named Hannah. Through her suffering, through her faith, God's people would never be the same. The things that she endured, and the things that she said, and the things that she did are all a crucial reminder for all of us tonight on how we are to live our Christian life in this day and age. And the first thing we see about Hannah's testimony is, number one, a lesson about pain. Pain. Look at verse 4 with me. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peniah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. The first thing we see, and you know it's important to see, is Hannah's pain. This was a terrible situation to be living in, especially during these times. You have to remember that women who could not bear children were deemed cursed, broken. They were despised and dejected by society. They were labeled and shamed for something, honestly, they had no control over. What's even worse is many in those days believed that if you were barren, it was a direct result as punishment from God because of sin. But the truth of the matter is Hannah's pain was not because of wickedness. It was, in fact, the opposite. Like Job, like Joseph, like Jesus Christ himself, we all endure pain in this world, even when we are in the center and in the middle of God's will. It is a healthy reminder tonight that as a child of God, that we are not exempt from the suffering of this world. But unlike all the horrible things you see happening around you, we have a blessed hope. We have a Savior. As we heard Sunday, we have a Father, an almighty God who sees and hears and loves us. But here's the problem. In the midst of pain, our eyes get off of what truly matters. Again, when you look at the surface, Hannah's situation, let's be honest, it just really stunk. You couldn't have children, constantly mocked and ridiculed. You know, that alone was enough. But then look at the source of encouragement in her life. Her husband, God bless him, bless his heart. He was trying to help, you know, he really was. But look at verse 8 with me. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? What's wrong, honey? Why eatest not thou? Why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? Okay, you know what? That's just something a typical man would say, right? Baby, aren't I enough than 10 children, than 10 sons? That's not the point, Elkanah. You're not listening. It's the mocking. It's the ridicule. It's the suffering. It's the feeling of being, you know, guys just don't listen, do they? They want to fix the problem, but they just don't listen to what you're saying. Right, ladies? Am I right? I'm just kidding. It's a whole nother sermon. But Elkanah, he was trying, but he was no help. But, you know, before we pick on Elkanah too much, I want you to understand that he was a good and a loving man. Verse 5 says that he loved Hannah. You know what? If that wasn't true, then God wouldn't have said it, and he wouldn't have put it in his word. But it was true. And remember, in those days, if you couldn't bear kids, you were dejected. You were refused. You were despised. And most men, by the way, would have put her aside, but not Elkanah. He loved her, and he kept her, and the Bible says he gave her a worthy portion. That's important because that word means more than needed. More than required. Even though she didn't provide anything in society, he loved her so much, he gave her more than she could ever want. But even though he was trying to help, and he was, it just wasn't enough. But that's okay. We're okay. Hey, let's go to the man of God. That'll help, right? Let's go to the man of God. His name's Eli. Let's go to verse 12. Look at verse 12. This will be fine. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, she was praying to him in the temple, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, that's fine, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. That's really nice, okay? First her husband, now the man of God, and he's so incompetent, he can't even tell the difference between someone who's a wine bibber and someone who's pouring their heart out to the Lord. You know, in the flesh, okay, I would have said, if I was Hannah, yeah, Eli, well, maybe you should look at your sons and stop picking on me. Have you seen your 2 sons, what they've been doing, Eli? But anyway, that's what I would do. I'm spiritually immature. But Hannah was more gracious than that. But, you know, think about it. No encouragement. Husband not helping. Peniah mocking. And now the man of God misrepresenting and accusing her. This is just the worst. This is just the life filled with anguish. And also notice, by the way, this didn't just affect Hannah mentally. It also affected her physically. Sorrow will touch your body as well as your mind. People often forget that. But what is the answer? The lesson we learn about pain is though we have it, and though we will go through it, we have an answer for that pain. But the answer is not found in our spouse. It is not found in our family. It is not found in the man of God. It is filled and found in the Lord. Again, Hannah was loved. She was loved. Her husband, though sometimes a bonehead, yes, would have given her the whole world. She had blessings, yes, but suffering and pain can blind us to God's goodness in our lives. The question tonight is, in the midst of pain, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of sorrow and anxiety, do you honestly see the good that is in your life? Or do you only focus on the negative? Which, by the way, would be very tempting to have this mindset, especially here, because this was a very dark time for Israel. You know what it was? It was during the time of Judges. People often look away from that because if you read through the Bible, you just read Ruth. It's such a sweet love story, and it's just sunshine and rainbows, and it's just one of the greatest love stories ever told, a true story. And you think everything's just warm and fuzzy, but no, Ruth was written and happened during the time of Judges. And Hannah's day was during the time of Judges. The news was always filled with some new debauchery, some new threat, some new terror, which sounds very familiar to us, doesn't it? But Hannah made a choice. When you are in turmoil, you always stand at a crossroads. And Hannah was at one. She could have been giving in to her pain. She could have spent the rest of her life in bitter tears, which many people do. Or she could seek the only one that could help her. And she made the right choice. Which leads to the second truth in this text. We see first a lesson about pain, but now the answer. to that pain, which is number two, a lesson about prayer. Look at verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Again, I remind you of her situation, mocked from the other wife, husband was trying to help, and now the one who's supposed to be the man of God misunderstood her and accused her. But you see, she didn't say, I'm leaving the church. Pastor made me mad. I don't blame her. I mean, that was pretty dumb of what Eli did. My husband's no help. No one's no help. I'm giving up. But she didn't. You don't know why? Because she knew that her husband was not the solution to her problem. She knew that the man of God was not the solution to her problem. The bitterness and pain in her heart would not be solved even if she had 1,000 children or Peniah stopped mocking. What Hannah needed was to go to the Lord. And she did. And I talked to Dad the other day about some of the positive things that could be taken out of this year. You know, there's some positive things you can take out of this year. Yeah. Number one, don't eat bats. That's important. That's good. Don't eat bats. Memes can encourage anybody. That's what Dad's been saying to everyone, is memes can cure any stalemate. You should buy stock in Charmin and Publix. I should have done that last year. I could be rich by now. But seriously, you wonder, what can I take away from this year? Such a bleak and miserable year, or so we think. But I personally believe one of the greatest lessons that we could take from the year 2020 is the necessity of prayer. Our country and the world has closed off so many people from their family, from their friends, and their loved ones. The Arringtons just told you a heartbreaking story of two people married for decades, their whole lives, separated. And the world has closed people off. But there is one way that you and I can reach them, and that is through prayer. You know, we could be filled with fear and anxiety. I've been tempted, okay? I'll be honest with you. Scrolling too much mania. Let me scroll right now through my social feed. I'm just kidding. But scrolling through so much mania on our phones, you could have lots of anxiety. But there's an answer for that. Placing our cares at the throne of God through prayer. But do I do it? Do you do it? You know, we could be filled with sorrow and pain like Hannah, but like her, we can find solace and rest at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I want you to know something important about Hannah in this text. I want you to know this is important. This is very important, okay? Notice that she did not receive her request right then and there. She prayed to the Lord for a child. She said, remember my affliction, see my affliction, see my suffering, and grant unto me a child, and I will give it to you. She prayed to the Lord for that provision. And then Eli said, look at verse 17. Look what it says in verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. You have to remember something that's very important, that this was not a prophecy, but this was a sentiment. It's the same as saying, God bless you, or the same as saying, I'm praying for you, or may God grant you your request. This was a sentiment, not a prophecy. Okay, knowing that, look at verse 18. And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Let me ask you a question. Did the Lord answer her prayer at this point? Did she miraculously have a child in her arms walking out of the temple? Did an angel of the Lord descend and say, Hannah, guess what? It's your lucky day. God heard you and you're getting one. No, of course not. So why? If she didn't get what she requested and she had no idea if she would ever get what she asked, why has she changed? It says that she ate, she lived her life, she loved her husband. But why? Because as Dad mentioned last week, prayer doesn't always change your circumstances, but prayer will always change you. Hannah's transformation came because she poured her heart out to God. She took comfort not in the provision of a child. She took comfort in the presence of the Lord and through prayer. She discovered through prayer that God is all that she needed. And even though this great faith alone is a huge blessing, something else amazing happened in verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. I want you to think about that. The very last words, the Lord remembered her. Isn't that beautiful? We must be reminded tonight that though our prayers may or may not be answered in the way or the timing that we wish, that God hears and that God remembers you. It doesn't matter how dark the night, it doesn't matter how deep the sorrow, God will always hear and help you if you simply go to him. We find in prayer the strength that we need for every day, and we find the comfort of his presence. We find a life like Hannah's that was changed with his power. And the greatest change in 2020 that we can make is if we determine to be a people of prayer, which we see Hannah's pain and we hear Hannah's prayer. But lastly, we witness the final lesson, which is number 3, Hannah's provision. Look at verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about that Hannah was conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. You know, what an amazing turn of events. Can you imagine? Could you see Peninnah go, Hey, what's this, Peninnah, huh? What's this? It's a baby in your face. No, I'm just kidding. Again, that would be me, my spiritual immaturity, not Hannah. But Peninnah probably be like, all that mocking, all that ridicule, just gone. Completely gone. But, you know, here's the problem. And the problem I have with this story, I've even heard some preachers attest to this. The danger of this story and this testimony of Hannah is that people will walk away with the wrong conclusion. The point of Hannah's provision is not that God will just give you what you ask for if you ask enough or hard enough or often enough. The lesson is that Hannah knew that all she needed was in the Lord, and whatever he chose to provide, she was thankful to God for it. And Hannah was purposed and faithful to use her provision, her blessings, for God's glory. It's not about getting what you want. It's about giving God what belongs to him. And you know, Hannah could have been selfish, by the way. This story could have ended very, very differently if she chose to be selfish. I mean, to give your only child to a lifetime of service to God, that was both a great honor and a great sacrifice. Could you do that? I don't know if I could do that. But you see, for Hannah, this was not a bitter choice because she was a godly woman. Everything she was and everything that she was ever given was all for God's good and all for his glory. I won't go into it, but I encourage you sometime privately to read chapter 2. It is an amazing and overflowing account of gratitude and praise to God. The things she said in this chapter 2 was incredible. They're incredible. This girl can preach, okay? Amen. She can preach, let me tell you. But how? Did she become this learned theologian the moment she left the temple? No. Chapter 2 exists because these things were already in her heart. The truth of Hannah's provision is not that she got what she wanted, is that she was thankful to the Lord for his goodness, for what she already had, and purposed to use, no matter what God did with her life or what he provided, she would purpose to use all her blessings to the one that gave it to her. It challenges us tonight to examine our lives and see if we both rejoice in God's goodness in our life and recognize that it all belongs to him. Dad one time was preaching at a church in South Florida, and I remember the illustration of a man that he used to know had the most healthy outlook of everything in his life, that everything belonged to God, And he was with this guy, and they were in a car accident. And it was a horrible accident. It was totaled. It was completely ruined. And, you know, most people would be like, I would be, again, spiritual immaturity. But all the man did is he looked at this smoldering ruin of what once was his automobile, and he simply said, "Lord, look what they did to your car." That's a wonderful outlook, isn't it? Look what they did to your car. You know, our spouses, our livelihood, our possessions, our health, our children, our friends and our family, everything that we have, it all belongs to Him. And beloved, that is a life-changing truth. And because Hannah had such a great and godly perspective on provision, she blessed the nation and the whole world with one of the greatest men who has ever lived. And as you know, and one of my favorite characters in the Bible, I know I say that a lot. I say it a lot. I'm sorry, but it's true. Samuel grew in wisdom and in the knowledge of the Lord. Hannah went and saw her son year after year, rejoicing in God's goodness and always encouraging Samuel to follow God. You know, I wanted you to notice something wonderful that God included in this story. I want to show this to you. Go to chapter 2, okay? Chapter 2, verse 18. I want to show you this. Chapter 2, verse 18. It's a wonderful picture. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." This is so sweet. This is such a sweet picture. She made him a little coat and visited him year after year. Could you see it right now, a mom? Like, "Here's your coat, Samuel. It's spritzing outside. It's cold. Wear your coat. What's that on your face? You got something on your face. Did you get in a fight? Was it Eli's boys again? Are you eating? You look skinny. You look skinny, Samuel. Are you..." Mom, stop. Can you see it right now? It's just the love that she had for Samuel. I think this picture was added here for a reason. I personally believe that Samuel would not have ended up being the man of God that he was were it not for God's provision, but also for Hannah and Elkanah's parenting. You know, men and women of faith are not born. They are made. Made by the power of God and the sacrifice and love of godly parents. They were willing to make that sacrifice. Are we willing? And by the way, men, if you notice, again, not picking on Elkanah, he was a godly man. Because if you notice in this story, it was Elkanah who always brought his children and his family to the Lord. It says Elkanah, year after year after year, brought his family to God. You are to be the spiritual leader of your home. Hannah was a godly woman, but men are to lead as well. And Elkanah was a good and godly man with a good and godly standard. And may we all be that way. Samuel would not have become the man of faith he was if it were not for a godly father and a godly mother, and thank the Lord for that. And by the way, the reason why, I want to just make this clear, every time you turn on your TV for the next few weeks, every time you see so much violence, so much hatred, and so much suffering in our country, it's because children are being brought up not to recognize the goodness of God, nor the reality that everything that we have, everything good and great, all comes from Him. That's why. It's not taught in schools. It's not demonstrated in leadership. And it is not enforced in the home. If every man, woman, and child embraced the truth that Hannah had in her heart, it would change this country and the world forever. That's what they need. But we can embrace it. We can claim it. We can live it. And we can share it. I'll say this and then I'll close. Despite this already heartwarming scene, I love this. God was not finished. He never is, by the way. The Lord granted to Hannah 3 sons and 2 daughters, and their joy just multiplied. And that reminds me of the verse in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, amen and amen." The truth about Hannah's life is that despite your pain, despite your suffering, and despite the sorrow that you endure, God can do exceeding above anything that you expect in your life. Anything. If you simply trust Him. If you simply go to Him in prayer. And you rejoice in His provision. Hannah was a woman steeped in many sorrows, yes, but that sorrow did not keep her from praying to God for strength, nor did it cause her to cease praising God for everything that He has done for her and for His provision. Purpose in your heart tonight, my heart tonight, to be like Hannah. You may have trials and tribulations, but you have a place to take those burdens, to rise above them, and to praise God for His goodness. And whatever blessings He gives you, purpose to use all those blessings to be a bright and shining light in this very dark and needy world. And if we learn these things, we will be comforted and blessed. And like Hannah, we will be mightily used for God's glory and God's honor. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word and the truth that these things were written for our admonition and our learning, that we would read the testimonies of people like Hannah and not just think, what a great person, but pray in our hearts, may we have that same faith. She was a woman beset by trials like every single person in this room. But the key difference between everyone out in the world struggling in darkness and all of us here tonight and with Hannah here in the scriptures, as we be a people who trust You, a people who go to You in prayer, a people who praise You for Your goodness and Your provision. Help us, Lord, to always be a people of faith, a people of prayer, and a people of gratitude, even in the darkest of times. We thank You for this time. We love You. In Jesus' name.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.